So a long time ago, there's a tragic thing happened in a far distant land where a disease, terrible, horrible disease, started to afflict the population. Started with two people and then very quickly spread through everybody. Not a single person in this land was free from this disease. And as far as diseases go, it was disgusting, really. Because it turned people inside out. So your outside was now in and your in was now out. I don't even want you to imagine what that would look like. But it did terrible things, obviously, you could imagine. Because the outside part of the person was now looking in. And so people's eyes, their ears, could only see and hear themselves. And so in every interaction, all they could actually hear would be themselves. When they looked at the world, all they could actually see would be themselves. You can imagine what terrible things that would do to something like marriage or family. You know, everything suddenly became affected, the whole social order. But also the inside bit was now on the outside. So the heart, the emotions, were now just hanging out with nowhere to go. Terribly alone. So what had originally been quite content on the inside was now just hanging in space, looking for somewhere, looking for something to hug it or, you know, make it feel comfortable. So you suddenly had a whole population that could only see themselves and yet at the same time were desperately alone. Now, this just went on from generation to generation. As I said, it was extremely contagious disease, even from birth. Children would be born this way. Every now and then, someone would rise up and be a bit of a free thinker, those dangerous types, and start to say, you know, I don't think this is the way we're meant to be. You know, I don't think this was the way that we were originally created. And people would say, well, look, shut up. You know, we don't want any of that. Like, it's hard enough living as it is. It'd be a whole lot easier if you just stop trying to disturb the matter. Keep quiet. You know, because really our whole world is starting to adapt to this new reality. You know, it's actually kind of good for the economy even. People being lonely and needing to be satisfied and only seeing themselves. I mean, think of how much, you know, cosmetics and, you know, weight loss formula and stuff you can sell now because people are only seeing themselves all the time. There's this huge anxiety. It actually, it feeds, stimulates the economy. But then one day something very strange happened where someone stepped into the world who was not afflicted by the disease. They were actually the right way around. Now for most of the time, for many years in fact, no one even noticed this person walking around because obviously they could only see themselves. You know, even when they went looking, hearing rumours of this person, they could only actually see themselves, couldn't even find him. But gradually this person started to talk about the reality. In many respects, it was the same thing these other strange prophetic people had spoken of earlier. That this was not the way we were meant to live. But the difference being that he said, I can actually flip you back around the right way. In fact, I've got the power to do this for all those who are willing. Now, this started to stir up a bit of real interest. Because everyone loves a bit of novelty. You know, think of how much people spend on trying to have the latest dress or the latest car or whatever. Suddenly to be able to stand out of the crowd, this kind of seemed quite interesting. And so this man started to gain quite a few followers. But then people started to put two and two together and say, is this whole flipping around thing going to hurt? At which point he kind of said, well, actually, yes. But I can guarantee you it's going to be glorious because you'll actually see the world the way it's meant to be. And one by one, people would start to just step back. In fact, it was only the really desperate people who were the first ones who allowed themselves to be flipped around. You know, the people who had been so caught up in that vanity, seeing themselves, trying to satisfy their loneliness to the point where they realized it's all emptiness, really. People who'd been so hurt by that emptiness that they realized they were prepared to go through the pain of being flipped around. And so something dramatic happened. Suddenly these people were now the right way around. The out was on the out and the in was on the in. And suddenly you found these people rejoicing, praising, singing amazing thanksgiving to the one who had flipped them around. Because for the first time they were seeing the world as it actually was, rather than through the filter of their own selves. And suddenly there was no longer that gnawing loneliness within them, because suddenly they were finding that they were content. They knew who they were, because the inside was back on the in again. So this kind of started this silent revolution. And it went through more and more people realizing this. Until eventually this man left, but he said, you can still be flipped around. If you just simply call on my name, it'll happen, anywhere you are. And so this became a whole movement. And as people do, they kind of look for a name, saying, what are we going to call ourselves? So they said, well, maybe we should call ourselves the Flippables, And many people sort of became drawn into this movement. They were born into it. Their parents were flippables, and so their kids would be born, still inside out, mind you, but with the hope of being able to be flipped around. But over time, as things do, people started to kind of become a bit cynical and questioning, and because even when they heard the message of hope, they were hearing it from the inside out. And they were hearing it, actually just hearing themselves and their own emptiness and their own hopelessness. And so this message of hope kind of became a message of, you're not good enough. It almost became for them like a message of condemnation. That's how they heard it, because their ears and their eyes were on the inside. They couldn't actually hear the truth of it. And so generation after generation, it actually became horribly distorted. To the point where people would be preaching about how you need to flip yourself around, but the people who were preaching had never actually been flipped around. And so it became simply this message of, you've got to try really hard. You've got to sit in a room by yourself and just like with all your might try and flip yourself. And it became harder and harder for people, and people became more and more frustrated, until eventually you can understand where it all goes to. By the end, you start to have scientists who are still inside out trying to justify their position, saying, well, actually, we believe that this is normal, that actually there is no disease. We've established this. We've done a survey. And we actually think that people who are flipped around are the abnormal ones, either physically or psychologically. We start to try and change the whole of society to try and make people feel comfortable in their inside-outness, and to try and silence anybody who's going to try and make you feel abnormal or condemned. And so we kind of went back to the position where more and more people would never actually know the hope. Sadly, because many of those who preached the hope had never actually called on the name of the man who could actually flip them around. Now, clearly this is Christianity. But really, where do we stand in the story? Because I think my experience of growing up as a Catholic and going through Catholic schooling and for so many years, it was hearing people talk about the fact that you should be flipped around, but they had never gone through it themselves. It had become simply some social quest. Try hard, and you might just get there. And so few people would ever have the courage to really go through that, because it is painful. Your whole perspective of the world changes to the point where actually, yes, you do become a freak. When everyone is inside out, the world is nice and peaceful because everyone is looking at themselves and everyone is trying to satisfy their loneliness equally. But to be turned inside out is the most dramatic, unbelievable thing. Changes every part of your perspective to the point where you now see everyone else in their ugliness, but also in their potential beauty. Now, could you imagine looking around a world where every single person was inside out and you were the only normal person? It'd be slightly disturbing. You wouldn't be able to live normally if you had within your power the ability to flip them back to normal. If you actually saw the world that way, everything would change. Your whole life would be suddenly compelled by the vision you saw in front of you. So that brings back to the question, where are we? You know, many of us are probably still inside out, frustrated at this church that keeps saying to try harder, you're not good enough. You should be something different. If that's the case, we need to come back to what we've just heard in the second reading. The grace of God who has done what we could not do. Of Christ who has come and proclaimed to us absolute transformation through the power of his name. And it's as simple as that. To call upon the power of the Holy Spirit, as it says, which is the pledge of our inheritance, which brings freedom for those whom God has taken for his own, to make his glory praised. To sincerely come to that place where you say, God, I'm not happy only seeing and hearing myself. My relationships are a mess. My life is a mess. I'm not content. There has to be more. That's the place in the Gospels that the tax collectors and the prostitutes came to. They saw their need. They saw the emptiness that was within, and they were desperate to be flipped around. And yet at the same time, so many of the church leaders, or the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, actually kind of liked what they saw. They liked the fact that when they spoke all about their theology, they were actually just seeing themselves. And there are so many in the church who really don't want to be flipped around because we're really caught up in our own vanity. We're caught up in ourselves. And we're reluctant to have to see the world the right way around. There's something in us that tells us what the world would actually be if we were genuinely loving. And we're scared of that. We're scared of the transformation if I saw the world the way that Christ sees the world. And I don't want to go there. And so there's like, we know the truth, we know he can do this, but I'm not going to give myself to it. I'll happily sit here in the church inside out and call myself a good Christian. But we never know the gift of life. For those of us who have experienced that transformation, once again, we can be reluctant in the pain of that. We can have got halfway there and we can be saying, God, this hurts too much. The transformation is too painful and I don't want to go the whole way. Or I'm scared of what I'm going to see if I actually see the world the right way around. I'm scared of what I might be compelled to now do, how I might be compelled to live, if I actually see other people's brokenness, other people's helplessness, and realize that I'm the only one that can help. And so we hold back. We're like, don't want to see it. I'll keep looking inwards. I'll keep looking at myself because that's safe. God needs prophets. As we heard in the first reading, as we hear in the gospel, God is calling people, firstly, to be turned back the right way around, to see the world the way that he sees it, to be turned outwards where everything is now given, your whole life is now given to other people, and then given in praise and worship to the one who's redeemed us. But then to be given to be the prophets of the truth, To be the people who can now stand in the world and say, this is not normal. This is not the way we're meant to live. You're made for something greater. I think simply we need to hear the call of the Lord. Don't look at ourselves. Don't allow the message to be filtered through our own vanities and our own fears and our own brokenness, but try and just hear the beauty of the invitation that he is calling us back to what we were created to be originally. And have the grace to surrender and say, Lord, your will be done. You know, whatever I then see, when I see the world correctly, let that happen. Don't let fear hold you back from becoming fully alive.